Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call to order the July 27th, 2005, meeting of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District. Can I get a roll call, please?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Bookout?
Here.
Director Dahl?
Here.
Vice President Mann?
Here.
President Hill?
Here. I'd like to briefly thank AGP Video for being here this evening and handling our technical presentation with the audio and video. Thank you very much. If you guys have any problem with sound during the meeting, just let us know. Please join me in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to item three, board member items for discussion.
I'll start with Dave.
I don't have anything. Barbara?
Nothing.
Bill?
None at this time.
Nothing here.
I have nothing at this time either. Brings us to item four, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. Items not on the agenda could be discussed at this time. Items on the agenda will be taken when those items come up on the agenda. The board will listen to all communications, however, in compliance with the Brown Act. The board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Please, we have a large a group tonight. Please limit your presentations to 3 minutes, and I'll be endeavoring to keep time to some degree. With that, is there anyone who'd like to make a comment to the board? Mark?
Mark Wampler, Oceana resident. Last meeting, if I recall, there were all of four of us here out in the audience. Quite a change we have today. Very interesting. It seems that Oceano District has been continually ignoring our drainage problems here in Oceano. And to prove that, there evidently has been a program initiated to pave our alleys with asphalt. Very interesting. Not only do we have more concrete, we've got more asphalt in our alleys. Now, if you noticed, our alleys run pretty much parallel with Highway 1, and that's a good thing because they serve by default catch basins, better in the alley than in our homes. Well, now that's changing with the advent of this new program. And the clause is, when I understand, all-weather roads for our fire trucks. I suggest we get all-weather fire trucks for our roads. We have low riders that go down our alleys, and no one's complaining about that. Okay, enough with this. There are no catch basins that are being built recently that I know of. This is a continual problem. Maybe one of these days the district will wake up to this problem we have. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Mary?
Hi, Mary Lucy Oceano. When I was looking over the budget from your last budget things, I saw that there was $50,000 for a survey to be done to see if the community needed extended fire services, and then there was some language on the survey and stuff. And then in this packet, during the budget process, I saw that the fire department was increased close to $500,000 for staff, which is what the survey was for. And then in this packet, there's job descriptions. And so that's all fine, but if we could just have a little bit of bridging and a little bit of communication as to, one, is there a survey out there? Two, where did the survey go? Did it come here to the fire department and then go over to Cal Poly? Three, is Cal Poly going to give us some results from the survey? four is the $50,000. The extra $50,000, is that, if that money is not needed, is it going to go into the continuous flooding problem, or does it go back over to the fire department, or does it go into general funds? And so what I'm asking you is to please look at this and just kind of give us an idea of what your plans are here.
Thank you. Other public comment? Hearing none brings us... I'm sorry. Will?
I'm Will DeShane, member of the Ocean House and Advisory Group. I'm treasurer and member at large. And I have been a member for a number of years, almost from its inception. And I think until recently, the group has been pretty much in tune with the community and most all matters. And we've had a lot of matters, a lot of problems, the airport and the off-road vehicle groups and all sorts of things. And with the recent change in its membership, it's become a bit biased against the Oceana Community Center. And I am not against the Community Center. I'm 1,000% in favor of the Community Center, and I think it's a great asset for the community. And I think we should have some respect for the management of the Community Center that has handled it's a tremendous project. It's probably the biggest project, certainly in Oceana, that's ever happened. And I think even in the five cities. They're not talking in terms of dollars or whatever. And I have complete support of the management as it is today. I think they're handling it quite well, but we have to give them a chance, and we have to support them. And I'm asking the OCSD board tonight to really, in regard to item six, that we support the community center.
I don't want to interrupt you, Will, but as far as that item is on the agenda, so
yeah.
Could I ask you to hold your comment until such time as that?
Oh, you're going to have public comment then?
Yes, there'll be public comment on every item on the agenda.
I'm sorry. I don't want to go through all this again, but I want you to know that I'm totally in favor of the community center, and I apologize for being up here.
No problem. Thank you. Is there other general public comment, specifically anything not on the agenda for tonight, anything you'd like to address the board? Okay, seeing none at this time, we'll move on to item five, review and approval of the minutes from July 13th. Does anyone have a comment or question about the minutes? Okay, I have no nothing about the minutes. Is there any comments or questions from the public about the minutes from the July 13th meeting? Hearing none, I'll look for a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes of July 13th, 12th, 13th.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Angelo, seconded by Vice President Mann, to approve the minutes of July 13th as presented. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item six, I'm inclined to take I believe that item six is probably going to take a long time to get through. In light of our 10 o'clock curfew, if you will. There are some items that probably wouldn't take all that long, and I'm inclined to take them out of order, such that we make sure that we get through those, such as cleaning and inspection of sewer lines, the continued emergency.
May I ask a question?
I'd like to take some items out of order, if I could. The first one would be item 8A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. Continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors concerning the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water mains. This goes back to the earthquake a year and a half ago where we had damage to the sewer and water lines. The board declared an emergency for repair of the lines, and we're required at each regular meeting to continue the declaration.
So moved.
It's been moved then by Vice President Mann that we continue the declaration of emergency.
Seconded
by Director Angelo. Is there any comment from the public on this item? Hearing none, any further comment from the board?
None.
May I have a roll call, please, Mitch?
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Could we do the rest of item 8?
Item 8B would be replacement of the water main on Strand Way and the temporary road project. Mitch, I understand you have a staff recommendation on this item.
Right, that the board approved the bid specifications to replace the water main on Strand Way and for the temporary road project, and direct staff to distribute the request for bids and have the bid date opening set for August 31st at 2 p.m. in the district offices.
We can do B and C together?
B is also a bid. C is just the authorization to expend the money that we were recommending.
For the re-veg?
The revegetation is a project. We have a guy who has to monitor everything that happens. D is the seed collection, and that has to happen almost immediately because things are starting to go to seed. You know, as soon as the fall starts, we've got to collect those seeds now. And then this other company will germinate those seeds and produce the plants that need to replace the plants that are disturbed by the temporary road project. So I guess you could do them all if you're all in agreement.
They seem to be all with the same project.
Right, it is.
Did we ever get our Coastal Commission permission with it for
yes.
this?
Yes.
So it's we can go forward.
Right.
And that's what we've been waiting for in order to commence
right.
the project.
We've been successful in negotiating with the county to get McCarthy and Juanita Streets totally repaved rather than just patched, fixed, and we're working with the county to do the same thing with Strand. It would be totally repaired instead of just patched.
So you need a motion to go forward with the 8B, C, and D?
Yes, sir.
Also move?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Angelo, seconded by Vice President Mann, that we move forward with replacement of the water main on Strand Way and temporary road project, considering to approve the bid specification to replace the water line on Strand Way and schedule the bid opening for August 31st, 2005. Also, we would approve the proposal for revegetation project and schedule the bid opening for August 31st, 2005, and approve a seed collection and plant propagation services with Genesis Ecological Services and SNS Seeds from the sum of $1,250 and $4,988 plus tax and freight, respectively. Is there any comment from the public on these items? Mark?
Mark Wampler, Oceana resident. Under item 12.20, remove, restore curb and gutter where trenching crosses existing curb and gutter. I hope I'm on the ball here. This is a budgeted item for restoration. I'm assuming this is existing only. No new curb gutter inside. Curb gutter and sidewalk is being installed here, because if it is, I want mine be done for free too. Okay? All right. I'm referring to 12.20. If it's existing, I suppose that's okay. But if there's any new, I want mine paid for too. Okay? Thanks.
I'm sympathetic to your comment, and I see that it says where trenching crosses existing curb and gutter. Talks about saw cutting it in replacement thereof. Any other public comment on this item? Hearing none, other comments or questions from the board? Can you have a roll call, please, Mitch?
We haven't had board comment yet on this.
I'm sorry. I just thought I'd ask for it. I should have spoke up.
Just one note. The gathering of the seeds seems to be a labor issue.
I'm sorry.
The gathering of the seeds seems to be a labor item. Shouldn't be sales tax on that. I want to check into that if you could. If that's a labor. If we're buying seed, it's one thing. But if we're hiring them to collect it, it's labor that we're hiring, so there shouldn't be any sales tax on labor.
Okay. You're correct.
Okay.
Would that require an amendment of the proposal?
When we get the bill, if it's for labor, I certainly won't pay for that. Now, if my understanding is he prepares, if they're built and they're creating plants, they'll be selling them. Plants would be sold to the guy who's going to plant them. There may be tax on that. They would be.
That's a different company that's growing the plants.
Right.
And we're purchasing someone the labor for somebody to go out and gather the seeds.
Correct. There's no tax on
that.
Okay.
Our concern has been expressed that any portion of this that devolves to labor, we don't want to pay sales tax on the labor portion of the contract. Other board discussion? Bill?
I think wouldn't that be pertain to more vegetables rather than raw seed for plants? I charge tax in my nursery on seeds, so if it's vegetables, I don't charge tax. So it's incidental, but
I think Director Dahl's concern, if I'm not mistaken, is that a portion of this is actual physical labor to collect seeds on the site, and it would that should not.
But you're looking at freight, so where's this being shipped in from? Are we purchasing
this?
No,
that'd be shipped out.
Shipped out, okay.
Freight out. I looked at it as we were buying the replanter would be buying a retail item, sort of what I looked at.
Yeah, if they're selling us just so many pounds of seed, regardless of what it takes to get them, that would be a purchase of seeds.
Well, it's not. The seeds collected will be turned into plants, because what is removed has to be replaced. You just can't. They won't allow us just to replant seeds.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, they can't hear in the audience.
Let me request the directors to please use the microphones. Several people have complained. claim they can't hear. I'm sorry, Antonia. We should be speaking up. I apologize.
Call the question, please.
Okay, is there any other comment from the board? May I have a roll call, please?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. We have the fire department items. Item 7A is fire department job descriptions. Consideration of the approval of job descriptions for the newly created positions of fire captain at will and fire engineer at will. And I presume there's a staff recommendation on this?
Yes, position allocations have been reviewed from the last two meetings by the fire committee, and maybe the chair of the fire committee, Director Angelo, may want to.
We looked at the specifications for the job, and these are the jobs that the fire task force are recommending that we do, and along with staff during budget time that we adopt these new full-time positions for personnel. Other than that, I don't really have anything else to add.
Okay. Chief, do you have any comments on this item?
No, I don't.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? No?
No.
Comment or questions from the public on this item? Karen?
Karen White, Halcyon. Yeah, I have one major question I read through, and first of all, I'm very happy to see firefighters being hired. But I was surprised that there was no requirement as to years of experience for either the engineer or the fire captain, which means that somebody who met all these requirements academically and other ways could be right out of Hancock Academy and be a fire captain without any years of experience, and I question that. And I also would like to know about the survey and what is happening with that. It's in a way I feel like maybe you're going behind our backs. If the survey was negative, which I don't know, but if the survey was negative, you're going ahead and hiring firefighters. And I also am kind of offended that the advertisements for these firefighter positions would go out and be in the paper before the board approved the positions. I realize they were approved by the budget. I realize they were approved by the fire committee. Thank you.
Were those, in fact, advertised?
Yes, these have been advertised. We went on a parallel track. If there's any changes to the job description, anyone who applied would be given a new job description and asked if they had any problems with the changes. The reason is that when we addressed it in budget, we indicated to the board that we would be ready to go in August. Our target date is August 7th. It's the beginning of a new pay period, and so we're trying to get things lined up for that date. These four positions are not associated with the survey. The survey would bring the position allocation to 9 if the survey was successful to the point that it indicated to the board that we should have an election. If the election were successful and the funds were available, that would change the position allocation from these 4 to 9 positions.
My understanding is that these positions are the ones that we talked about in the budget meeting, and we have sustainable existing funding to support these positions without having to go to an election or other provisions.
That is correct.
Okay. Mary Lucio, are you just discussing the job descriptions, or are you taking public comment for the fire committee as a whole?
The the comment, the item before the board right now is just approval of these job descriptions.
Okay.
I am sympathetic to Karen's comment that we don't seem to have any requirement for experience, which I would certainly expect to see in responsible positions such as captain and engineer. Was that something we could have some guidance on that?
One of the things that that we looked at were under the section skill requirements, and for an example, for the fire captain skill requirements. Some of these certificates can't be had without certain experience. I mean, I think looking at it on its face, it doesn't say you have to have 5 years of experience, but you can't get some of these certificates unless you have adequate amount of time on the fire, on a fire department. You would never get the minimum qualifications, which are these certificates, if you didn't have substantial experience. And maybe Mike might want to add something to that. But for an example, you need a fire officer certificate. I don't think you can't get that without experience. They won't even accept you into the class.
That's correct, Mitch. The fire officer certificate takes approximately 2 years to achieve that goal.
Okay, so we have.
And prior to that is another year for the firefighter one. So you're looking at 3 years minimum experience to get that.
Okay, I see the captain's position requires a state fire marshal fire officer certificate or the ability to obtain one within 1 year of hire. So that would seem to perhaps allow a reduction of the amount of experience.
But as Mike said, that we're looking at a minimum of 2 years to get that. So, I mean, if we cut that down, the person has have to be at least halfway through that certificated program.
Okay. Other public comment on this item? Hearing none. Board comment discussion? David Barbara?
I don't have anything.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion to... for the fire captain at will and fire engineer at will.
Can you speak up, Bill? It's hard.
I'll make a motion for the fire captain at will and the fire engineer at will that we accept this.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Bookout that we accept the job descriptions as presented.
Second.
Seconded by Director Angelo. Any further comment or question on it? A roll call, please.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Point of order.
Karen?
Should David Angelo be voting on that, considering his son is on the fire department and could possibly be taking one of these paid positions?
Council,
I'm just saying it's a conflict of interest. I'm not making trouble. I'm trying to reduce trouble.
Appreciate that.
You're approving establishing certain positions. There's no direct tie between Mr. Angelo's son and the establishment of those positions. If the board at some time in the future were to consider appointing him to a position, and I'm not sure the board has direct authority over that, but if it were to, then that would certainly be an issue of conflict of interest. But I think the mere establishment of the position does not create one.
Okay. I understand common practice in the fire service is to have kind of an independent oversight of approval of appointment of personnel to positions such as this, and I would hope that we have a provision for some impartial approval for filling the positions.
There's an interview panel that's established for this Saturday. Consists of a reserve fire captain from Aurora Grande, I believe a retired assistant chief from Oceano, and myself will be on the interview panel.
Okay. Do you want to finish up the fire items? We have the agenda shows two item A's. We just did 7A, the job descriptions. I believe the next item should be noted as item 7B. That's surplus miscellaneous items for the fire department. Consideration of resolution 2005-22. And Mitch, you have a recommendation on that?
Yes, that the fire chief has inventoried items that they consider to be surplus to the district's needs. They have located description list will be sort of amended. They have come across a couple other lengths of hose that they want to surplus at the same time. But the recommendation is to adopt resolution 2005-22. Declaring certain property to be surplus and authorizes disposal either by sale or by disposal.
Okay. Any comment or question from the board on this item?
The fire committee looked at the list last night, and it looked to be just a bunch of odds and ends and stuff that doesn't really have a whole lot of value, and our recommendation is to go ahead and surplus.
Okay, I see that. Gate valve butterfly type, I'm confused as to what that is. How big is that valve, just out of curiosity? There's two of them, I guess.
I believe it's 6-inch to 4-inch.
Butterfly type gate valve. Okay. Any other comment or question, Bill, Byrne?
Yeah.
Okay. Any comment or question from the public on this item? Mary?
Mary Lucy Oceano, first of all, I have to beg you to speak up.
Yeah.
You know, because this is just out and out rude for us to come out here for hours and hours and can't even hear back here. So at least take your hands away from your mouths. You know, sit up straight. Get your voices on. I want to ask the fire chief is that we have two fire stations. One is in use and one is vacant. Is there a reason why the fire station is not on this miscellaneous list? Secondly, we have an obsolete survey. Call it what you may, but I think that there's $50,000 in surplus that should have gone on this list as well, not to mention the vacant fire station. So if you can give me a great explanation for this, I promise, well, I can't promise I won't bug you anymore, but it would certainly help me to see what the fire department has under their jurisdiction and what they don't have under their jurisdiction.
Okay. By way of... Don't know the answer to the fan. We'll try to speak up. I apologize for not speaking up. The fire department surpluses equipment from time to time. This is the currently identified list of surplus miscellaneous items. With respect to the old firehouse, I know that that's being used for certain purposes, one of which is storage of records. There may be others. There's a group in the community that leases the property, and there may be other considerations, but that's your question is well taken, that all assets of the district, including perhaps the old firehouse, should be reviewed and looked at, and if it's surplus, if it is indeed surplus, we should take that into consideration. But at the moment, the items that are being considered are just the ones on this list. Any other public comment? Hearing none, I look for a motion.
I would move to adopt resolution 2005-22.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Angelo, seconded by Director Bookout to approve resolution 2005-22, declaring surplus miscellaneous items from the fire department. May I have a roll call, please?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Here. Yes.
Sorry. Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Final item for the fire department, which should be item 7C, would be consideration of a district ordinance establishing a fire department capital facilities charge. The general manager's requested direction from the board considering development of the district public facility fee ordinance. This is in consideration of the fact that the county had for a number of years, I believe it was since 1991, collected a public facility fee to benefit the fire department. And over the course of the years, we've received several thousand dollars to replace fire department capital equipment through this fund. And the county ordinance that collects the fund has currently expired. It expired June, about the 22nd, if I recall.
Correct.
Near the end of June, so it's currently in abeyance. The county is working on renewing the ordinance, and we have the option to participate in that or develop our own ordinance, consider development of our own ordinance. We can also consider development of an interim ordinance, which would carry us through the portion of time that the county ordinance is in abeyance. And we've got a report here from staff. Do you have any other comment on that, Mitch?
The county continues to move forward in development of the ordinance. One of the things that the county, which I didn't have in time to put in the staff report, one of the things that the county has indicated is, you know, I told them, you know, we're foregoing a couple thousand dollars a month, potential a couple thousand dollars a month. Its average comes to about $1,200 a month since inception, but I arithmetically weighted the years, and so it comes out right now to about $2,300 a month. They said all you have to do is have one protest, and it's going to cost you more than that in just attorney's fees. And that's one of the cautions that they gave us, because that's what they're trying to do, is to make sure that their ordinance would foresee any of these potential challenges to the fees to be collected. So that's one additional thing I didn't have to put in the staff report.
Okay, and we're. By telling us that the county's on track for that, what is their time schedule for
having this implemented? They hope to have it before the Board of Supervisors by early fall. That's as close as they get. The other issue is if, you know, we developed our own, we would be doing it sort of as amateurs, as opposed to the county has a professional whose livelihood is to defend governmental agencies against protest hearings. And he kind of helps people prepare these kind of ordinances. I mean, they got an expert doing this. I mean, if we were to develop our own, we may miss something, you know, pretty easily. So,
would we expect the new county ordinance to be substantively different from the previous ordinance, other than in terms of how much the fees are going to be?
They are including, and the only thing I know additional, they are including improvements rather than just new construction, so they will also include any additions or anything like that based on a square footage.
So in general, they're just considering expanding the scope of the ordinance rather than changing it. So, for example, we could possibly look at adopting some modification of the existing county ordinance to suit our purpose. Plagiarize, if you will.
I would be hesitant to tell you what the county's doing. I just know they're working on an ordinance. Until I see it, you know, the fire committee has reviewed this on two different occasions, and I believe it was their belief that we kind of wait to see what the county's doing before, so we have something to compare and contrast. If we don't like what they have, then we can certainly go out and do our own. But if they come up with a substantial ordinance which fills our needs, which means they're going to be responsible for any protests. We don't have to, if somebody wants to protest the fee, they protest it to the county. They don't protest it to us. If someone wants to, continually update this thing, we don't have no idea what laws will be adopted in this legislative session or any successive legislative sessions. We've got to continually make sure that this ordinance would be in line with any changes that were made. We're accepting a substantial administrative burden if we were to take this on as an operation.
Okay.
But that's, if the board's direction is to go out and do an ordinance, we can be back here with an ordinance.
My concern was the potential to lose several months' worth of revenue for the fire department while this ordinance is being promulgated by the county.
And I think that's well taken. I think that's I guess maybe in better hindsight, they maybe should have held on to their old ordinance until they had something new to replace it. They just kind of replace one with the other. For I don't know why they decided to do it the way they decided to do it, but that's what they did. But you got to remember, the county isn't collecting any fees either, and they collect fees for patrol, governmental buildings, libraries, parks and recreation. They've got a whole list and an administrative fee that they have also, and they're not collecting any of those fees at this particular time. So they do have some interest in getting this thing off dead center.
That part of it is good. Is there comment, questions from the public, comment from the public on this item regarding the public facility fee for the fire department?
Yes. Why not just implement the one, Mike Noble, resident of Oceana? Why not implement the one that you had in place before, just in the interim, until you get the county's new proposal, so the fire department loses nothing? You have one that's structured and works now. Why not just keep it in effect until the new one comes around?
The problem is that it's the county's. The county was collecting it under the county ordinance, and the county, for whatever reason, allowed their ordinance to expire and did not continue that until the new ordinance becomes worked out and becomes effective. So there's a gap of, we don't know how long, until between June 22nd, when the old ordinance expired, and whenever the new ordinance becomes effective with the county. So that's why we were considering if we wanted to have some kind of an interim thing on our own, but it would be coming up with a new process on our own. Any other public comment? Hearing none, any further comment or discussion from the board in the sense of what we want to do? I don't know if we have a motion or a recommendation. Dave, the fire committee has a recommendation.
I think we've discussed it. I don't know if we come up with a recommendation, but our thoughts were to just follow suit with the county and let them go ahead and collect the fees when they get the ordinance implemented, and we would start getting, they were going to collect the fees for us, and we would get the fees from the county. That's what we talked about.
Okay. Well, I guess in the interest of providing direction to staff, I don't know that we have a motion to make on this. Do we have a sense of the board? The recommended action was to continue to monitor the county's process, progress on this item, and when it becomes available, have the proposed ordinance reviewed by the fire committee. Of course, when it becomes available, then I guess we would choose at that time to participate. And are we, have well, we notified them that we want to participate as soon as they're
right? Well, they already know we're in. You know, we have communicated that through numerous channels. Fire chief has communicated it through the county fire chief, and I've communicated to the planning department and to the general services department, or excuse me, public works department.
Okay, so we've made a written request to be included in the
right.
process.
And we've also communicated continually with Pat Beck, who is the assistant planning director, concerning who's spearheading this. I mean, we've continually communicated with her. As early as last week, we were talking to her about this. So she knows that Oceano's interested. It's not.
President Hill, could we have this brought back next time on here, because then maybe we'll have a better sense of where the county is at that point, and if they're going to keep, if they continue to say it's a long time off, we might maybe at that point want to think about doing it temporarily. But let's wait a couple of weeks to see if they start moving along quickly, and then we could still go with them.
So that's a motion to table?
I was asking the president what he thought.
That's is that a reasonable suggestion that we look into table it for a couple of weeks and look into what the county is doing and how much progress they've made, and then consider possibly acting? Okay. Then with the consent of the board, I'll ask to table the item until the next meeting, and can we bring that up again at the next board meeting, please? Okay, I'll return then to item 6. Item 6.
Mr. President, this item concerns the community center, and I live within 500 feet of the community center. And therefore, according to the Brown Act, I have a conflict of interest due to my residence being as close as it is. So I have to recuse myself at this time. Thank you.
Okay, Vern, thank you. Seeing that Director Dahl has left the building, I'll bring up again item 6. This is items related to the Oceana Community Center Incorporated. Item 6A concerns the Oceana Community Center Incorporated Management Report. This is a financial management report, an update on operations, and a completion schedule from Ruth Brackett, President of OCCI, and Barbara Carey, the Executive Director of OCCI. So I see that Ms. Brackett and Ms. Carey are here. If you'd like to address this item.
President Hill and members of the board.
Excuse me, Ruth, could you speak up? They can't hear you behind you.
President Hill, members of the board.
Thank you.
There's actually a number of items in the item A there, and then there's item B, which is a separate item, which we obviously support. And I'm going to address kind of a summary of where we are and where we hope to be. And so...
Could we confine that to just item 6A at this time?
Yeah, it's 6A.
Yes,
but
that would be the financial and management report.
Ms. Carey will do the financial part, and I will do the area completion and the scheduling, that part
okay.
of it.
That'd be fine.
Okay. Bids for phase two of this project were opened on April 12, 2005. Carroll Development, Inc., doing business as Carroll Building Company, submitted the low bid of $1,317,000 $25. After review and recommendation by our architect, the OCCI board approved the agreement between OCCI and Carroll Construction. The contract was signed on April 21, 2005, with the project to be completed within 140 days from the start date, just under 5 months. We thought construction would begin in May, and as you recall, I said about the middle of October, we were going to be celebrating. Well, lots of things got in our way. Once it had a copy of our signed agreement, Coast National Bank approved our loan and submitted a signed commitment letter to your board. However, obtaining formal USDA approval took longer than any of us anticipated. Subsequently, Carroll Construction submitted a letter to your board saying it would honor the April 21st agreement until July 29th, 2005, which is this Friday. Before we give you a project completion date, we first need to establish a start date. Once your board approves the landlord release and consent, which is the second item, sign the lease and sign this landlord release and consent form, Coast National Bank will have the lease recorded. The following day, the loan documents will be prepared and will be signed by Coast National and representatives of OCCI board. So that's in general where we are. I can't give you a completion date. We're looking at the end of December. If this next part of all of the agreements goes the way we're anticipating. So that's kind of in a nutshell where we are and where we hope to be. I would like to kind of give you some information. I brought some copies of some letters, and I'm going to just address them very, very briefly. The first one was a letter from Vic Halanda, who is the planning director of the county. And in that letter, he really spells out how we have complied with the county and the funds that we received from the county. In that letter, he makes reference to the letter from the Oceano Housing Advisory Committee. He indicated that the Oceano Advisory Committee should address those questions to the OCCI board. There are two letters in the packet that I gave you. One is from, I believe, Alita Wheeler is the secretary. And attached to that are the answers from our executive director, Barbara Carey. The other is from the Oceano Improvement Association. I think it was signed by Karen White. There's also an answer to that letter attached. And the last one is, this whole thing revolves around the Roberti Zeeburg Harris Urban Open Space and Recreation Program grant, which the district applies for and then gives the money to OCCI. In July, on July 30th, 2003, the state responded to a request by Ms. Wilson regarding our compliance with that grant. And the letter was addressed to her and spells out that we are complying with that grant. So I just wanted that to all to be documented in the record. We've raised over $3 million for this project, for the building, for operations, and for programming. And I think you need to be aware, if you're not, all during this construction period, we have been doing programming of various kinds in this community. And there are people here tonight who plan to address you who are beneficiaries of some of the activities the community center has been involved in. A burning issue throughout this process has been that the people on the board don't live in Oceana. We took special effort this last year as we lost board members to replace those board members with Oceano residents. 6 out of 10 of our board members live in Oceano. So with that, I hope that you will approve the items connected with this agenda item so that we can launch the final phase of this project. So thank you. And Barbara Carey will address the financials. Unless you have questions.
I don't have any questions per se. I do have a comment. I am discouraged that it took this long for your officers to come and give us a presentation before the board. We've had a number of questions about finances related to this project and other things, and tonight we find ourselves supposedly up against a July 29th deadline once again, when our board has requested multiple times to hear from you regarding status of these items, and I'm just discouraged that there always seems to be some excuse until the last minute.
Well, excuse me.
We can hear from Mrs. Carey if she has the financial.
No, report. I want to address it. The first time you gave us a very late notice to come here, I was having surgery that day in Santa Barbara, and there was no way I could come to a meeting. And I feel as president I should be at these meetings. And it was very, very short notice. And the other point is, in this management agreement, we had 90 days in which to come before you for specific things that you wanted to know about. And, you know, I just really resent the implication that we have somehow offended you.
We've
we are volunteers, Mr. Hill.
You're volunteers that are dealing with large amounts of taxpayer money that this board has a fiduciary responsibility for. And I resent your implication that I don't have the right to ask those questions.
I didn't say you didn't have the right, but there has been a process set in place. Right now, I should be home because I have a very ill husband. And you chose to change the agenda around, so it's going to be very late when I get home. So, you know, I think you have to take into consideration that there are processes that we go through, and that's what we were relying on. And, you know, I just can't drop everything in my personal life to attend a meeting that isn't clear to me what the questions were. We were just sort of to show up. So I'm one of those. I like order.
Well, I endeavored to attend one of your board meetings that was noticed and was going to be held here at 5:30 one evening a month or so ago. And when I came to see what was going on, just for my own education, nobody was here. And apparently the meeting was held at some phantom place, as if there was an effort to conceal what was going on from members
no.
of the public that might be interested.
No, that is not true.
It is absolutely true. I beg your pardon.
There is no...
I came here to see that meeting, and you weren't there. Neither was anybody on your board.
There is no obligation for us to hold our meetings here. Absolutely none. Ms. Carey will...
Your public relations could use some improvement on that score and others. Ms. Carey, if you'd like to present...
Barbara, may
President
I
Hill, I have
sorry,
a question Barbara. Of Mrs. Brackett. You said that once the landlord release is signed, the bank will file...
The lease and the second item on your agenda, those will all go in.
Be recorded.
And they will be recorded.
Okay. After they're recorded... being generous, maybe 5 days to get it recorded. Then when will the loan be funded? And I didn't hear what you said.
Well, as I understand this, we will submit, once it's all approved, everything is all signed and recorded, we won't get a big batch of money. We will submit our request, kind of like a home equity loan, where you spend it as you need it.
Okay, that's kind of not what I'm getting at. I'm trying to figure out how long the bank or their lawyers will say, I have to look at X, I have to look at Y, I have to look at Z.
Barbara could probably answer that better.
Okay, that's my question, because I think originally you had said after it was recorded, the bank, and then I don't really remember, but I'll look the next time I see this on television, what you said, how many days it would be before the bank would say go ahead.
I didn't say. As soon as everything is agreed to, like tonight, the decision
uh-huh.
tonight, and any papers that have to be signed,
uh-huh.
which I think there's two that I can think of, those will all be submitted. Now, you know, once it gets to the bank, we're in that period, but the bank is anxious to close that. As I understand it, everything is in place except this.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good evening. I'm Barbara Carey of Shanna Community Center, and I will address some of the issues around the loan. Your question was how long can it be processed or how soon can it be? Actually, once it's recorded, the documents can be drawn up, and we can go in and sign that day. That was what the bank told me. Another issue that's been raised is questioning the amount of the repayment. Originally, it was like over $13,000 a month. Well, if you've noticed, the amount that we're borrowing has decreased from $2,400,000 to $1,875,000. The reason for that is the bid came in below what we thought it would. So the base bid for the construction piece is $1.3 million plus. So there's some wiggle room in there. And part of that is the first year of the loan repayment is included so that we can borrow that amount to repay. But we won't be doing that if we don't have to. In other words, we do have wiggle room.
Borrowing to repay, that sounds like a loan shark arrangement.
Doesn't it? I know. That's just so in case, you know, something comes up right at the very beginning. And also, the amount will not be starting. Okay, the new loan amount for the maximum of the 1.875 will be $12,794 a month. But again, that's once we get to that cap of the 1.875, and in all probability, we will not be borrowing that much money. The other thing is that any money that comes in, we automatically just pay right off the top. So as we're going into this process, we're not going to be borrowing the whole amount up front. We're just going to borrow as we need to pay bills. With respect to where we are right now in terms of construction, so far, the biggest amount that we spent was the John Madonna's bill, which is $2,126,000. Next was the architect, which is $108,000. Overall, we so far spent $2,311,190 on construction. Of that, $400,000 is from RZH, plus there's also an additional $815.66 from interest. If you'll recall, the RZH grant was for $500,000. We got a cash advance of $400,000. We spent that. We have $100,000 still being held by the state. As soon as we complete the project, then we submit our bills, and they reimburse the $100,000. And that $100,000 is in addition to the interest. The interest that we've earned, or that your account has earned, doesn't count against that $100,000. Also still outstanding with the state, we have $69,000 with a land, water, and conservation fund grant, which is specifically earmarked for outdoor recreation and includes things like the outdoor stage, the turf and playground area, the barbecue, and also a partial piece of the restrooms, which sounds unusual for outdoor recreation, but they're necessary. Oh, also, I did submit to your board our audit for 2003, and since then I was notified that you also wanted to have all our audits. So I submitted 2000, 2001, 2002 as well.
Those have been received? Have they been? Okay.
Are there any questions?
The Finance Committee looked at the material that you submitted on the due date, which I believe was the 23rd, and the if I can go back to the agreement, the requirement was for a comprehensive audit and report, and what we got at that time was a pile of Xerox copies of receipts for various apparently construction activities on the project, and a letter that said that the district could submit those to get more money for the project. And there was in absolutely no way semblance or anything of an audit with that on the time schedule that you and Mrs. Brackett had agreed to in that management agreement. That left us, to say the least, very discouraged.
What I gave to you, it was in the format that it gets not, that is in the format that the final report has to be submitted to the state. And again, there was some confusion in Mrs. Brackett's and my part when we looked at, obviously, had I realized that you wanted an audit from our CPA, you'd have had it, because that would have been a lot easier for me. I didn't really, you know, when we looked at audit, nonprofit organizations have different levels of audit, and we didn't realize that that's what you were specifically referencing, and I apologize for that misunderstanding.
The latest audit that we've seen is 2003. How is it appeared from that audit in 2003 that you use a calendar year?
Yes, we do.
Accounting system. And so then your 2004 audit should probably have been prepared by now. Is that not correct?
We had an extension. The auditor's been busy. We've been busy.
You had
I neglected to mention, in the letter that Vic Hollanda submitted to or sent to OHAC, we've been monitored by CDBG in May, and we're fine.
Was the... The specific one of the specific interests of our board is the RZH grant money, which is what OCSD has applied for and dispersed. In other words, what we have specific fiduciary responsibility for in this project. And I don't see how a discussion of CDBG money addresses that concern. Can you enlighten me on that?
Well, essentially, everything that we spend that is not out of the funding for operations and programs has come out of CDBG and RZH and the county $400,000. That's what it's going for. And I'm sure when you see our audit, you'll be satisfied that that's how the money has been spent.
So it looks like the bottom line here is, despite the expired due date, of which I have some notes from council and staff that you were reminded of that well in advance of the due date occurring, that we are still not in receipt of an audit.
As I said, I did not know until after I had turned in my report that that was not going to be acceptable. And at that point, getting the audit scheduled, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. I scheduled it as fast as I possibly could.
Your excuses are very frustrating to me in light of the specific language in the construction and management agreement and particularly frustrating in light of the additional notice that the staff and council had provided to you that this was coming due. We have a sense, Barbara, you're on the Finance Committee. I know you had some serious concerns with what was presented here.
I was going to wait, but I'll go ahead and kind of make my statement now. I was going to wait until we got ready to vote. But
just for clarification and to make sure we have a procedure that stays on track, what you're taking now is the report, and it's certainly appropriate to ask questions. There should also be a time for the public to provide comment. Once that's concluded, then if the board wants to have discussion amongst itself, that would be the appropriate time to do that. There is not a specific action item before the board tonight, so there may or may not be anything to vote on.
I'll wait until we have our discussion.
Actually, if you're going to be asking specific questions like detail, accounting detail, I'd request that we postpone that until I can have my bookkeeper here. And or my auditor.
I'll just hold my comments till we have our discussion.
Okay. Having received the report, thank you. Is there a comment or questions from the public on this item? Peggy?
Thank you, President Hill. Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I may be in the process of answering my own question here as I look in tonight's agenda file. I did not get copies, or I did not get paperwork for agenda item 6A. Is that because there was none submitted, or did that just not make it into my agenda packet?
If you look at agenda item 6A, there's a star next to it, which means it's an oral report. There's no staff report included.
Thank you. And with regard to the board, with regard to item 6A, I feel that having read the contract management, funding management / agreement, and forgive me, I know I'm not speaking the correct title, but the management agreement as we refer to it in shorthand, I believe that agreement is very clearly written, and I reject the argument or the excuse that it was not understood what was expected of OCCI. I also have heard from Director Mann that OCCI was asked to submit that information and that audit report a couple of weeks prior to the July 13th deadline so that it could actually be heard on time by the board, as I think, even though it didn't specify in the contract, but I think that was the intent, and certainly it would be the gracious thing to do, considering the amount of time and effort and resources that were put into not only crafting the contract by district staff and district council, but the amount of money and consideration that OCCI has received from the district over the years, and OCCI's intent. It knew some time ago that it intended to come and ask you to essentially encumber our land. So I think it would have been at least the gracious, if not the intelligent thing to do, to simply, do what Ms. Mann indicated that was asked of OCCI. And as far as I didn't know, and I'm paraphrasing Ms. Carey here, when I attended the April 21st meeting of the OCCI board, which was the last meeting that any of us were able to attend, it was made very clear by Ms. Carey, and I've reviewed the tape of that meeting, and it is very clearly stated by Ms. Carey that they are in contact with OCSD and OCSD staff, and I see Ms. Carey's car here often. I know from looking at the public record that Ms. Carey is on the phone with Mr. Cooney and emails back and forth with district council. How then could it be that she didn't know? So I really support your asking the hard questions. I think it's time to draw the line. I think OCCI is in default of its contract and lease management, or its management agreement with the district. I think it clearly defaulted on its obligation. And I think that the one deficiency that I would point out in that lease agreement is I don't see anything that your board has in terms of a remedy to hold them accountable for it. And I simply fail to be impressed by Ms. Carey's excuses, and I think that her latest one should be filed with the rest of them in the file that says, "The dog ate my homework." Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment on this item? Rick?
My name is Betty Carey. That's C-A-R-Y. I'm a resident of Oceano and not related to Barbara Carey. My questions and comments has to do with the site itself, so if I'm talking out of turn, I will sit back down. I have no comment regarding the financial matters.
In that update on operations and completion schedule is also on this particular item. If your comment relates to that, it's welcome.
Well, I'll be very brief. I drove by the site just today, the community center site, and I couldn't help but notice, I'm still new to the area. I've only lived here about 18 months now. But I couldn't help but notice the parking. We're building a 15,000 square foot building and expecting revenue to come in from various parties, organizations, what have you. Where are these people supposed to park? I counted 20 parking spaces, of which two are for handicap. And I don't see how you can convince people to put on a program in the in our new building when there's no place for them to park. And that is one of my major concerns. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Other public comment on this item? Rick?
Mr. President, Board, Rick Searcy, lifelong resident of the community. You know, it's been about 1979. Myself and a group of citizens in this town endeavored to bring a community center to this this town. I can list Manuel Vargas, Ruben Quayler, long gentleman that's been deceased that was very active in trying to get something going for this community. I know that you have issues with the amounts of money that it takes to build this building and how they're spent and trying to get things on a timely manner. But, you know, if you sit back and look at 25 years of trying to get this building up, you know, time becomes irrelevant. But then again, I do, you know, I know that your concern is that OCCI be accountable for you know, this building. But I do know too that that decision making and leadership in this community and bringing about this community center needs to be done in such a manner that you know, that we all are gained by the whole community. And it just in our mission statement from the community center reads as the mission statement of the Oceano Community Center is to develop and sustain an inclusive center accessible to all for the purpose of recreation and services that will continue to a safe and healthy community. And that was one of the biggest issues for me is I was born and raised here, you know, and a safe and healthy community means having facilities to do organized recreation. There has never been that here for this community. And we have stifled our youth, and we have reaped the consequences of the juvenile crime in this community. All of the incorporated areas in San Luis Obispo County, Oceano has 15% of the juvenile crime. And it's not even 7,000 people. And recreation centers, recreation programs, is a proven crime deterrent. And it's about putting this community center together to bring us together as a community. And I understand that, you know, it can be very technical on the legal standpoint of, you know, getting the loan documents done and time. And you know, who monitors these grants and where does that money go? But you can see it with your own eyes if you step out and look at that building. I mean, you today, if you was to start that building, you could not build that same structure up there for what we put into it. And you know, we're down to a time limit, and I know that we need to go on and get this the financing taken care of. And it's just, you know, here we had a letter that was hand delivered from the Finance Committee on the 19th of July, requesting that the comprehensive audit be done by the 23rd. That'd be like saying, you know, go out and put that building up in 5 days. And I understand that, you know, hey, somebody should have, you know, understood that, hey, you were supposed to have this here, and you're supposed to have, you know, and I want to see it right now before, you know, you get the blessing. But, you know, we thought that, too, of the USDA. You know, they were hot and heavy to get everything signed, and after all the papers were, you know, delivered to them, they sat on it for another month.
Month a year.
You know? So, but in that, you know, I just would like to, I'm the vice president of the board this year, and I'd like to introduce the people that are in the audience that are sitting at the board today that are from Oceano. And one of them would be Jim Wheeler. Just raise your hand, Jim. You know, what's going on up there, but this is something that is truly needed in this community. And it is more than half complete. And we're trying everything that we can. And, you know, I think it's a pretty good feat when you can get a handful of volunteers to go out and raise, you know, a few million dollars and get other communities wish that they could find those kind of grants. They could wish they could find that cooperation within the community to get from their community services district to put up the land, to be the pass-through agency, you know, to truly help people in this community. You know, they would hang you high in you know, San Miguel if you were going to put a new gymnasium in for them. So I would just encourage the board to be leaders of this community and to step up and do what is right for this community.
I think we have every intention of doing that. Thank you for your comments. I will say again, and you as an officer of the OCCI, this was not a last-minute demand from our board. Rather, the management agreement was agreed to and signed by OCCI. If they had any qualms or questions about the schedule, they certainly had every opportunity to bring those forward. And once again, there were invitations made to OCCI officers to come and inform us what was going on. There was absolutely no secret here. Nobody forced anybody to sign any agreements or anything, but those agreements were signed. And as Mrs. Brackett, as a former county supervisor, is well aware, as Rick is well aware, as a former member of this board, we have a fiduciary responsibility to account for the millions of dollars, the many hundreds of thousands of dollars that this board's directly been involved in achieving for this project. And while I don't think there's anybody in this room or this community that disagrees with the need for recreational opportunities for the youth in this community, I've not seen a single person, and I've knocked on every door in this community and talked to most of the residents personally, I've not seen anyone who believes that there's not a need for recreational opportunity for the youth of this community. But I don't believe that's an issue, but there is an issue regarding finance, there's issue regarding deadlines, there's issues regarding what's going to happen with this project if it goes forward in the manner that's proposed. So there's a number of issues, very serious issues, dealing with this project. And the issue of the need for recreation for the youth and the members of the community is not in dispute. Karen?
I was just going to say, President Hill and Board, if somebody would give me $5 million and a place to build a recreation center today, I could get it built. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Tom?
Tom Butler, principal of Oceano School, and as Mr. Searcy said, I am one of the board members for the Oceano Community Center, but my residence is in Grover Beach. It just feels like I live in Oceano on some of those long nights at the school. Just a couple points I think are important. Schools and communities improve together, and they need to go hand in hand. There's not a day that goes by that my staff and I and the parents of Oceano School don't try to make it a better place for kids. At the same time, this community center is an opportunity for us to reach out and help Oceano continue to improve, and also to reach beyond just youth. Another point that I'd like to bring up that I've heard by Mr. Hill and Mr. Searcy is the healthy activities and healthy choices for youth. In this area, roughly a third of the population is under 18. And research will show, and you can look, I have plenty in my office, that students, young people that are actively involved in healthy choices, healthy activities such as recreation, such as the activities that will take place in the community center, are much more successful academically, socially, and in the workplace. Of course, what's the alternative? It's what we're seeing nowadays. There's vandalism. We have graffiti. There's gangs, or they'll turn to drugs and alcohol, none of which improve our community. And so with the facility, with what the facility can provide as far as recreation for those young people in our community, I think it'll make a great benefit. And the last thing I would bring up is that I think everybody in this room wants to help the next generation of Oceano residents have a better life than we have today.
My feeling, and just coming on board here with the committee in the last few months, is that we have really objectively looked at all of these projects, including the community center. And not having near the knowledge that Mrs. Wilson has, seeing that she had originally sat on the steering committee of this OCCI and this community center, that she has the best knowledge of what's going on here. And I've listened objectively, and I feel that us as a committee have really treated very fairly the community center, and that we have attempted to get answers, basic answers. And the criteria that we've applied to the community center, as we do all other projects, have fallen way short. Parking, for one. The appropriateness and the size of the building in that neighborhood is way overbuilt. Public safety, the concern of just a lot of people in the community by means of this building here. And so all these questions are very challenging to us as a committee, and I would respect that we look at this as was stated before by Rick and Tom, that you know the advantages of a community center are to our advantage to have a place for recreation. No one disagrees with that. And that point has been well taken. But for this to open, I have no idea where the people will park their cars. They would have to be bused in. That was the first thing that I noticed just a few months ago. There are other wide range of things that trouble me. We have a boys' club. We have smaller operations. We have churches here, and so we can take up the slack. The thing is that this community center is of grave concern, that the size of the structure. And to accommodate the flow of people that will accommodate, there are just a lot of very serious questions that we need to look at, and I hope that redemption can be made. However this turns out, that could be redeemed, and it could be possibly used for a good purpose. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me, President Hill. Since the issue of parking has been raised twice, I'd like to address that issue. I gave a handout tonight. On first page, it covers several of the issues that have been raised by concerned citizens. At the very bottom, you see activities and programs. That is taken specifically from our minor use permit, which was upheld on January 22, 2002. On the back is also lifted from the minor use permit. It covers noise, parking, traffic. These are all county standards that we have nothing to do with them. The standards are set by the county. We complied with them. We were supposed to provide 46 spaces. We have 48 spaces available. And actually, Dana Lilly from the planning department is here, and he can confirm this.
I've seen the report from. I'm not a planning person. The planning, as far as I'm concerned, it does look that there's that the project could have more parking would seem to be an advantage to me, but I'm not a planner, and I defer to the judgment of the County Planning Commission. I've seen their report on that. I personally have no question on that, other than I note that some of the parking spaces are on what appears to be a short-term lease.
Actually, they're all long-term leases.
Long-term leases.
Yeah, that was how we got the minor use permit. Were they not long-term leases, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have been able to get them.
Get the
permit.
Thank you for that. And I understand that the Planning Commission has approved the parking arrangement for the center.
Hi, this is Oceano. You know, I agree with what everybody said up here so far. I have not heard one person say they are against having a community center. I've heard people say, wow, 20 years, you know, but I haven't heard anybody say that. But Mr. Searcy had made a statement, and I thought it was a very good statement, and I think that, you know, he said that some people want to know what's going on up there. And I think that by diversifying your board, which I really commend you for doing, and bringing on new board members, will help demystify what's going on up there. And maybe if a little bit of attempt towards more inclusion versus exclusion, because like you said, you had tried to attend a board meeting, which I think are supposed to be advertised. Many people got that, so I will not be redundant there. In the audit, although the mission statement is very different, and I want to know if this will impact this project at all or if there needs to be an addendum added. And it says OCCI is an unincorporated nonprofit organization that was established on November 13, 1997 in Oceano. The primary purpose of this corporation are to fund, build, maintain, and operate a community center to provide services beneficial to the public interest and for the benefit to the resident of the underserved area of Oceano and other areas within the San Luis Obispo County. OCCI also seeks to promote the value of cultural diversity and to support the development of resident leadership skills towards building an inclusive community. OCCI provides services for all member of the community, it should be members, including the needy and underprivileged. Towards this end, OCCI has implemented an information and referral system, including internet training and access around health, housing, and employment issues. And I applaud you for doing that without a building. I really do, but I do believe that you are doing those. What concerns me is that the land was given from Parks and Recs, a grant from the block grant for recreational use. And in your audit, there is no mention of recreational. And that sends a flag up to me. Now, I don't know if that means anything, but my understanding is, and from other people talking to them, is that the primary purpose is to give people a place to recreate so they come out of the alleys and off the streets and things like that. But still, in your audit, the word recreate is not used anywhere. And so that's one thing. Secondly, is change in leadership in less than 24 months. And the board, I think, has started to move in that direction by diversifying and bringing more board members on. And, you know, like I said, demystifying the project itself. But what I'm concerned about is that you have taken out a quasi line of equity. But I kind of feel like, well, let's just put it this way, is that we can afford a two-bedroom house, and we bought a five-bedroom. And what is going to happen after the first year? I mean, are you, as a board, confident enough that without programs, without staffing, or anything else, that you can maintain a $12,000 interest-only mortgage payment? And once again, I really apologize for bringing this up in public. I would have much rather done this in a boardroom, ask these basic elementary questions.
Why didn't you?
Because I didn't know where the board meeting was. It was canceled. So I had till tonight.
Mayor,
I had no idea who was on the board.
Let me ask you to direct your comments to myself, please.
Okay, so I had no idea who was on the board till tonight when I got this paper, and thank you very much. So those are my questions. After the first year, will the program be able to sustain the mortgage payment?
Thank you very much, and I would ask the members of the public to kindly not ask questions of the speakers. Speakers are to direct their comments to the president of the board. I share the concern and frustration of not being able to find out where the board meetings are held. I know that some of the meetings previously have been held in this building. They were held on a time schedule. The calendar out in the front office announced that. When I endeavored to personally attend the meeting, once again, I found that at the very least the venue had been changed, if not the time. I don't know what happened to the meeting, but it certainly appeared to me that the charges that had been brought, that this OCCI board had secreted items, certainly appeared to be true from my own personal experience. So I was very discouraged with that. It does no one any good, in my opinion, to keep matters of important community interest such as this from the public. Our entire political process and government process in this country is founded on openness, and I just can't overstate that. And it's very discouraging to see an organization that has, again, millions of dollars of taxpayer-supported money that is so the lack of forthcoming.
And start working with each other instead of each other picking at each other all the time. That is not right. We'll never get anything, because you cannot live in a house that's separated. You have to unite. We have to unite. Not only you guys or them, all of us. The school, the fire department, the officers, everybody is in this community. We should all get together in this community and start doing something. If you can pick up a shovel, you can dig a hole. If you can pick a hammer, you can nail a nail. We can all do that. We don't need money when we get together. Everything can be done. I do it. That's what I'm telling you. If I need to have something done, I do it. I don't go around, well, I need $1,000. I need $500. No, I just go do it. Strength, or when I do things, doesn't cost money. It just wants to be done. If you want to do it, you do it. This is what a community is all about, not about money. Money is just an extra thing for goodies, not for what we really need. Let's start thinking of our community, of our children that are growing up. Maybe we already lost the 22s and the 23s and the 30s children that are gone now. But we still have come ones that are coming down. Our principal from the school is doing something for them. So why can't we just join? Why can't we do it? We can all do it. And yes, I care for my community. I care for all the children. I care for you people. And I do wish that somebody cares for us. That's why I'm here. The community is there. Community center is there. How long is it going to stay empty? When is it going to be finished? When are we going to be able to use it? Parking or no parking, it's there. Whatever we need to do has to be done. And this is all I'm asking. When is it going to be done? Thank you.
Thank you, Antonia. And thank you again for your involvement in the community.
Ruth Brackett, I'd like to address the public meeting aspect of our organization. We are a California corporation. We are not a government agency, and we are not required to have public meetings under the Brown Act. When the community center is finished, there is a boardroom, and we have discussed how the board is going to address the need to continue to communicate with the public. And over the years, we've had a lot of communication. We've had a lot of open meetings. But we made a decision not to have open meetings and not to meet here because we didn't have any control over people just walking in, taping our meetings, disrupting. This is a business meeting. And we try to keep it to about an hour. Our main thing is to discuss financial and business matters, and of late we probably spend a half hour talking about all of this political stuff. And so, you know, it's very, very difficult to get people to volunteer for these organizations. I've belonged to a number of them. So you have to make it convenient. They aren't elected people. They don't get paid. So in order to have open meetings in the future, we are going to have to put in our bylaws some format in order to control how questions are asked of us, you know, and we're looking at different options. But we have a lot of things to do. Tonight there was scheduled through the SLO Foundation, they're having a series of seminars for nonprofits, and one of them was a board training seminar, and it's tonight. And Barbara and I had planned a long time ago to have our new board members go to that planning session. And so we have a lot of responsibilities. It's not just our responsibility to you or members of the Oceano community. We have business, internal business things that we need to get done. And we need to raise this money that's going to pay back this loan. That's a whole separate capital campaign committee. There's a lot of time involved. And we have, quite frankly, been totally thwarted in accomplishing many of our internal goals because of all this hullabaloo. I think Mrs. Maldonado is absolutely right. This center needs to get open. It needs to get operating. And you have our operating plan. It's got figures in there. And in order for us to carry all that out, we're scheduled to hire a program director.
I've been involved with recreation and fitness most of my life. So I was very excited to go through the community center, and I'm very impressed. I'm from the Phoenix, Arizona area. Very large community, lots of money for recreation, and for a small community, Oceano, to build such an impressive building, and I think it's just a great opportunity, and I hope that there is a spirit of unity or whatever. I am not familiar with the politics of what's going on and the undercurrents, but I hope that whatever's happening, you guys can figure it out, because I'm very excited to teach there. So good luck to y'all.
Thank you. Other public comment?
My name is Mario Garcia, resident in Oceano, and outreach ministry for Grace Bible Church. I've been involved with the Oceano Community Center since I practically moved in Oceano 3 years ago. Even though construction hadn't started, the Community Center Board already has started building community. Barbara Carey told me about Even Start and Lucia Mar Adult Education and introduced me to Mr. Ernie Gomez. Thanks to that, my daughter was able and well prepared to enter kindergarten. My wife and I got graduated for GED this year. In addition to my ministry, I'm committed to help the community in any way I can. I am one of the founders of the Oceano Youth Coalition. Through the community center, I met Chief Mike Steinhauser. I now serve as a fire chaplain for this district. Individually and together, my wife and I have attended training sponsored by the Community Center and Adult Education. We are part of the first five commission, a neighborhood team, to develop the Oceano School Readiness Program. From my experience, I've learned that it is much easier to criticize and tear things apart than it is to create or even improve already existing programs. In the last few years, I've seen tremendous improvement in Oceano. We now have an adult learning center, a school readiness program, a county library will be open in October. So please add the community center to the list of improvements. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment?
That should be the end. One item.
I would like my items from number 4 applied to number 6, if I may, for the record.
So applied.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
This meeting tonight and the meetings that I've been lately attending with the Ocean Advisory Group, is there's never a question asked as to what I can do to help this process, to get this center completed. There must be some kind of a plan that we could come up with. All I've heard is a lot of criticism. And that, criticism is, there's always a lot of criticism. Whatever you do, there'll be criticism. But it seems to me, with a group this well informed and an audience like we have tonight, and the support of the community, we should be able to come up with a plan as to how we can help these directors that are working this for free to get this project completed. I think it's time that somebody asked the question. I thought maybe you would tonight, but I don't think you plan to, Mr. President. I hope you do, but how are you going to help these people with a plan to get this project done? We got to get it done. I mean, we can complain all day about what has been done wrong in the past here. And they're not certified public accountants. They're not engineers as such. I was in engineering. We didn't complain about the past problems. We always asked, how can we solve these problems? And I haven't heard any of that. How can we solve this problem? Get this project done. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you all. Gordon?
Well, thank you for all your patience here tonight going through this. I'm Gordon Shore of Oceano. I've long been a member of the Oceania Improvement Association, and our organization has contributed some to the community center and is far in support of it. I think the majority of the people here in Oceano are in favor of it. Peggy Wilson has long opposed it. She has personally.
All right. Give me another chance, another bit.
Okay, thank you.
President Hill and members of the board, good evening. My name is Leslie Leone, and this is my sister Jeanette, and we live in Oceano. Last summer, I was the youngest Judkins student ever to be selected to attend a week-long leadership training program in Washington, D.C. I wasted $2,000 that I needed to pay for my tuition, room and board, and the community center paid for my travel expenses. And it was one of the best experiences of my life. My GPA is 4.33, and I like math and language, and I think I have real leadership potentials. Right now, Dinette and I volunteer at fundraisers for the Oceano Improvement Association and for the community center. Once the building is complete, there will be safe, supervised activities for teens and opportunities for me to develop my leadership skills. I really hope you'll support this project. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for your efforts in the community. Other public comment? Glenda?
Good evening, Director Hill, Vice President, Alderman, and Board. My name is Glenda Guyton, and I'm a 65-year resident of Oceano. My husband was a lifelong resident, and we both attended the Oceano schools and raised four children here that attended Oceano schools. We've been involved in many community organizations and activities over the years, and we're very pleased when the community center was proposed. I have watched people like Rick Searcy and Ruth Brackett work for many years, putting all their heart and soul into this community, trying to get programs for our youth. Back in the 30s and 40s, there was a community center in Oceano. The children growing up in Oceano at that time had a place to go for sports, dancing, and all kinds of activities. They grew up to be productive members of this community and the communities where they eventually lived. We need this community center for our children now so they too can have a chance to have positive, creative influences in their lives and help them grow up to be happy, productive citizens. I think Oceano as a whole has stood behind this project and would like to see it completed. If this center is not completed, it would be a great disservice to our town and the people that have worked so hard to make this community a center. I would ask this board to do what has to be done to get this project completed. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment? Patsy?
I'm an Oceano resident, and my name is Patsy Darniel. At the current time, I'm treasurer of the Oceano Improvement Association, a docent and director of the Oceano Depot, and a past director of the OCSD. I'm continually amazed at how well people work together and how cooperative they could be when we all work towards a common goal, particularly the one when we're trying to improve our community. We will soon have our own library here. We now have school crossing guards financially supported by these community people, and a restored historic building that is being donated to not only by our own community and its support, but even people from out of town or who used to live here because they believe in its historic value. Many of these same community leaders and supporters have also rallied around the community center project and look forward to its completion. All of these people who have worked so hard together are proud of their accomplishments. And after saying that, it really saddens me that we have one individual who has expended so much negative energy trying to stall a project which could be a wonderful benefit for this citizenry. She has attempted to derail it since its inception, and just because she doesn't want it in her neighborhood. Not all of our neighborhoods are aggravation or nuisance-free. Some citizens complain of the airport noise. Others complain about the crowds or the cars on the beach. And there are those who express concern for the environment. But these individuals do not encourage dissension or decisiveness. They work together to bring the community members together and work towards a compromise and not total abandonment of the project. I'm urging you to ignore this individual's last-ditch effort to thwart the completion of this community center and to sign the necessary documents. The community center will no doubt be one of the most positive and constructive additions to this community, and it will benefit all.
People can work together, and they should work together, the common good. And I believe that's what we all want. So with that, that's my comment for 6A.
Thank you. Other public comment? Okay, hearing none. I'm sorry. Al?
I will be loud enough.
We appreciate that.
Members of the board, staff, and supporting personnel. My name is Al Baughman. I'm a resident of Oceano. I would like to share with you something about myself and my family so you can better understand why I'm here tonight. Our family moved here in the late 1950s, and shortly thereafter I became involved with the Oceano Improvement Association. It was a new organization and was formed to help the people of Oceano to improve their community. The membership of that Oceano Improvement Association were all positive thinkers and as such completed many, many projects for the betterment of our community. I was pleased to serve as president of OIA for 13 years. I currently represent Oceano as an active member in establishing a public library here in Oceano. It has taken the committee over 2 years in planning and financing for that particular effort. The public library is scheduled to open on October the 22nd of this year, and you are all invited to that opening. Well, during this same time, my entire family was also supportive of these efforts. My wife is postmaster here in Oceano for many years. She is a longtime member of the Oceano Women's Club and was president of that association for 15 or so years. She currently serves as an honorary board member of the Boys and Girls Club here in Oceano. Our youngest son was editor of the local Times Press Recorder, and our oldest son was one of the founding members of OCSD. He served as a board member for 20 years and president of OCSD for several of those years. Now, I tell you all of this because our family has always supported positive projects in the community of Oceano and the South County area. The Oceano Community Center is one of the ongoing projects now that needs support of everyone in our community. The young people in this area will greatly benefit from the center as well as their entire families. So in closing, I urge you board members to continue your good work and to do everything in your power to support the completion of the Oceano Community Center. Please be careful listening to a few people who are trying to undermine the completion of this much-needed community center. I want to thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you all. Other public comment? And Tony, I'll entertain a short, one short comment.
Okay. I'd like to tell you about myself now, okay? When I was about 25 years ago, I belonged to the NAFA organization, which is nationwide. I went from here to Texas and all over, trying to make water wells for the people, helping the people all over. Okay, this was government. It was not county or anything like that. I help a lot of people over here get housing through HUD
and FHA. I also now am a volunteer distributing food to poor people, and Mrs. Carey is a witness to that. I also volunteer to clean the community center of all the grass and everything else. She didn't ask me. I told her I'm going to do it. Didn't I, Miss Carey?
That's true.
And I went and I did it. This is what I mean meant when I said that we as a community can get together and just work, you know, without being people asked or anything. We are as a community and we need to help each other. That's what I meant. I didn't mean to offend anybody by telling them this or that. No. I mean that we as humans should get together and help each other. If the community needs help right now, we should all get together and do whatever we can. Sweep, clean, or do whatever we can. Okay? We have other people that can volunteer if they want to volunteer. Okay? I volunteer my services because I love my community. Not to offend anybody or to brag about myself. No. What I do it because I want to do it. Not because nobody asks me to do it. And because I love everybody. People to me is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Antonia. I very much respect your efforts. And
what the board has a problem with, can you do that and expedite it so we can get this thing done? I mean, there's vegetation that's as high as I am for no apparent reason. I've offered to go over and weed whack it myself for nothing. We just need to get this thing over with. It just almost sounds like there's a competition between the boards, as if maybe they haven't provided the information that you need. If they haven't, ask them to do so. Let's get on with it. I convene a special meeting tomorrow, 8 o'clock in the morning, whatever. I mean, can we do that? Can it get done?
I sense your frustration.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you're the same as I am. I'm just asking a question. Can it get done? Can you actually convene with the other board and ask the questions that are needed so you can get this document signed and we can get over it?
We're going to investigate those issues presently.
Thanks, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. In terms of item 6A, my impression is that we're still awaiting the audit that was agreed to. As counsel pointed out, or someone pointed out, there is no penalty or negative provision in this. There was some mention that the audit should have been presented before the due date. There's no requirement to do that. The material that we got was received on the due date. I think it came far short of what we were expecting in terms of an audit. But I don't, I'm not aware of any provision that would have required some early submittal of any material. So just to clarify those points. Barbara, I know you had some.
No, I have to wait, but I think we're ready to go on to B. Excuse, there. You have public pointing to you, Jim. They're not my public; they're your public. You need to see what they want.
Item 6A. I don't know if there's a sense of the board if there's any action to be taken, other than to request the most expeditious delivery of a proper audit as was previously agreed to by the parties.
I think we already asked for that, so.
Okay, moving then to item 6B. The consideration of the landlord's release and consent. On this item, I'd like to give my perspective here. I'm about a 3-year resident of the community.
Excuse me, Jim. Could we maybe, before we give our thoughts on this, ask Alex to present what this is? Would that not serve us better, perhaps?
Your point is well taken. Alex, if you've got discussion of this item and some of the concerns that the board has? And
I do have a discussion, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. The discussion, unfortunately, is going to go a little bit larger than would perhaps at first appear, because there was a little bit of information we obtained today that, in all good conscience, I think we need to bring to the board's attention. I'm not sure it changes the outcome, but I wouldn't feel comfortable if you voted without understanding an issue that came up today. To deal directly with the issue before you, you have attached a landlord's release and consent form that was submitted by Coast National Bank regarding the OCCI loan application. This landlord and consent form is a very typical form that is used in connection with transactions where there is financing by a financial institution secured by a lease rather than by the dirt that is associated with the property. And it's designed to do a couple of things primarily. One is to obtain some assurances from the landlord that the lease is in good standing. A second is to ensure that putting the loan in place doesn't violate the lease. A third is to protect the bank's lien rights on certain personal property. Sometimes under leases, the landlord will obtain a lien right on the tenant's personal property if certain kinds of defaults occur. That's not the case in our lease, but that does sometimes happen. And finally, to assure that the landlord has to give the lender, in this case Coast National Bank, notice and right to cure if the borrower, OCCI, some concerns that some members of the board had, we asked the bank, and the bank agreed to add a clause that says any such reassignment, if they were to step in, cure a default by OCCI, and then try and bring in another tenant, say, for instance, the YMCA or the Lucia Marr School District or somebody, to operate that facility. Any such reassignment would be subject to all the terms and conditions of the lease, including the restrictions on how the lease premises may be used. We wanted to make sure that was put on notice so that if they do come to us and say, here's a substitute tenant, it really has to be somebody like the YMCA or the school district. It can't be Gold's Gym or somebody like that. So that's the specific matter that's before you tonight. The issue that arose today is one of those issues that, you know, only lawyers worry about. Somebody might argue that these distinctions that I'm going to try and describe to you is like trying to argue about how many angels can dance on the pin. But I think there is an important distinction there, and I think the board needs to understand what you're doing. So if you'll bear with me for a minute, I want to give you a little bit of explanation about something. The original lease contemplated that OCCI would go out and raise all the money through grants or other arrangements, have all the money in place, exercise the option to lease the property, and then build it with all their money. The lease says that the improvements that they construct, doing it that way, belong to OCCI, subject to those improvements reverting to the district when the lease terminates. Whether the lease terminates at the end of the 99 years or the lease terminates because OCCI defaulted, the improvements come back to the district. Well, the problem is that this transaction did not go down the way it was originally contemplated under the lease. OCCI didn't have all the money in place. They didn't raise it 100% through their own sources. Some of those sources were through grant applications on which the technical grant applicant was the district. And so the district's responsible for that money. And so I think as we sit here today, there's an argument that the district owns a portion of the building because it was district money that was used to build it. And an argument can also be made that because of the other money that OCCI procured on its own from other sources, OCCI owns a portion of the building. So there's a little bit of a disconnect between what has actually occurred and what the lease says. And that's important because as part of the loan documents between Coast National Bank and OCCI, it says that Coast National Bank will have a lien against the building. Not the dirt, just the building. That lien against the building is subject to our lease. So if the lease ever terminates, you know, we own it all and the deed of trust goes away. But there is a disconnect between what the lease says and what the financing arrangements are between Coast National Bank. I think as a practical matter, it is something that is of relatively small concern because the bank can't pick up the building and haul it away. There are provisions in the lease that require maintenance of the building, that require technical lawyer term, wasting the building, meaning allowing it to fall into disrepair or affirmatively doing things to destroy the building. So as a practical matter, it's most likely a non-issue. But I think it is something that should be cleared up. This board could decide as a matter of policy that it wants to go forward with the landlord's release and consent and wants to take the position that's taken in the lease that this is a pass-through of money to OCCI. OCCI owns the improvements subject to the lease. It can encumber the improvements subject to the lease. And then we would just move forward. If the board wants to take some other action or some other position on the ownership that the board could justify if it wanted to take it. If the board, as a matter of policy, is uncomfortable with that and you want to pursue some other action, then, like I said, we'll work diligently to get it done as expeditiously as possible. But I couldn't in good conscience let you go forward tonight not understanding that this issue existed, which I learned about it about, I figured out at about 4:15 this afternoon.
Now, is this the $500,000 or the $400,000?
Well, there's, clearly it's the 2002 RZH grant.
Yes, because we have okay. not accepted or gotten the other one.
You have not accepted the other one? The wildlife or land and water conservation grant, that's for outdoor turf type improvements, and so I have a hard time reconciling in my mind that that's really the building. So
that's grass.
Yeah, I think it's not that.
Yeah.
There was one other grant that was obtained earlier for which OCSD is responsible, but that was the grant for the land acquisition, so it does not come into consideration
okay.
here.
So we're really just talking about the $500,000.
Right, right.
Should the board table this action and wait until the items can be resolved satisfactorily?
You're asking me to give you my opinion on a policy question.
I
don't get a vote here. I might have my own thoughts about whether you should proceed or not tonight. I don't think it's a legal question.
Mm-hmm. Point taken. Is the board given that
President Hill, excuse me, I think there is a legal matter. There is a legal matter tied with this. We have a signed contract that is the builder is committed to July 29th. I think you should be aware, the board member should be aware that
that
exists there.
You'll have time to comment, Mrs. Brackett. The time for that is not now.
Does
so going back to what we're putting out there, kind of out on the limb, is a $500,000, basically.
Well,
I mean that's if all the horrible things happened, that would be what OCSD would be out, would be $500,000.
Under the worst case scenario that I could envision, the project gets built, and OCCI, for one reason or another, fails to be able to carry out operations. If that were to occur, the appropriate action for the board would be to give notice of default under the lease to OCCI, and under the landlord's release and consent to the bank. The bank has 60 days to cure. Now, cure has to do with both monetary covenants, a dollar a month rent, and maintaining the facility, and it has to do with operational covenants, which is to maintain a program in place there. So the bank were not able, let me back up. If OCCI were not able to get their affairs in order within the 30 days, and the bank was not able to get its affairs in order within the 60 days, the board could terminate the lease, recover the assets free of the lease and free of the bank loan, and go forward with whatever other program the board would have to try and get public recreation out of that facility. I suspect that faced with that alternative, the board likely would choose to try and work with the bank and perhaps work with OCCI to see if there isn't a way that cooperatively they could get another operator, or afford OCCI the opportunity to get its affairs in order, you know, on maybe a little longer time frame than 30 days or 60 days. There could be any number of alternatives at that point.
Well, I think Barbara's question was, is the grant that you're referring to that's going to hold the our feet to the fire, the $500,000 grant only?
Well, the only grant that there are only two grants. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's three grants that we have exposure under: the original grant for the land acquisition, the $69,000. I'm sorry, again, the
water conservation.
Land and water conservation grant, and the RZH grant that has been given to us. All three of those require that the facilities that are acquired and put to use through those grants be used for public recreation purposes. So if the district were to decide against all your staff's advice and your own common sense to put a water yard over there, or a wastewater treatment plant, or something else that's equally ridiculous, then you could be in a lot of trouble with the grant authorities. That's sort of obvious. But as long as the district is making any sort of reasonable progress towards getting public recreation in there and operating, I can't imagine a situation where you would have any sort of problem with the grant authorities.
Thank you.
Well, I can't see how the district can get in any more liability than we already are by getting this building completed. And certainly if it sits there vacant, it's not going to be productive. It needs to get done. I don't think there's any more obligation to the to this board than that has already been made and committed. And I think we should go forward with this consent, landlord consent form.
Before you get too far ahead of it, what's been happening here is staff report, and of course questions to the staff are perfectly appropriate from any of you. The next thing that you should do in the ordinary course of events would be to take comment from the public. Then once the comment from the public is closed, discuss amongst yourselves or take a motion and then discuss amongst yourselves and arrive at your decision. Just so it's getting late and stay on a direct path.
Okay, is there any questions from the board members on the staff report for clarification? Or? Okay, in that case, we'll entertain public comment on this item. Please confine your comments to this particular item, which is consideration of the landlord's release and consent. Karen?
Yeah, I just wanted to know, would there be any more exposure with the new Roberti Z Terrace, whatever it is, the one that's pending that is supposed to arrive sometime? Would that add more fuel to the fire? Or?
We haven't accepted it.
Well, that's been applied for. So far as I know, it has not been granted, and assuming that it is granted, then the board would have to decide whether to accept it or not. So those are policy decisions that the board will have the opportunity to make decisions on at that time. And is it conceivable there might be more exposure? I guess it's conceivable, but that's a question that I probably wouldn't be in a position to answer until we look at it a little harder.
Okay, and isn't that money supposed to go against, help pay off that loan? The pending loan.
That money comes to the district, and the district will make darn sure it goes to pay down the loan.
Thank you.
Betty Carey, Oceano. I noted two minor discrepancies in the document itself, the landlord's release and consent. In the very first paragraph, it says the Oceano Community Service District landlord, whose address is 1936 Wilmar Avenue. Should that not be 1655 Front Street? The second thing I noted in the document itself was the added clause that was put in where you wanted, quote, any such reassignment shall be subject to all terms and conditions of the lease, including the restrictions on how the lease premises may be used. In the document itself, under additional provision, any such...
And its improvements are being paid as grants are coming in and through loans through the Coast National Bank. Is that correct? It's being paid as it's going along?
Maybe looking from the future, that might be the case, but currently the building and improvements has been paid for by basically grants.
Okay.
And to the point that we're at now, the consideration is whether a loan would be obtained to finance the completion of the project.
Okay, my question is there a provision in the lease agreement that allows the improvements that are owned by OCCI, which is a building, I'm not correct about that, the building and the improvements are owned by OCCI. Is there a provision in the lease agreement that would allow them to mortgage those assets? And if so, is that agreeable? I would oppose personally any mortgaging of the building or improvements to raise any more money. Maybe you could clarify that for me.
I don't know. I could ask counsel. I'm not aware of, in the lease, any provision. I believe the lease pretty much envisioned that the grants would be raised to pay the cost of the project. And
I believe the lease is silent on the subject because it assumed all cash.
Mary Lucy Oceano. I just need a little bit more understanding is that at this current time, there is no mortgage payment. It's all been raised by grants and everything like that. So at this current time, the OCCI doesn't have to come up with monthly payments for loans and stuff because it's been gotten through grants and stuff. I'm trying to think of a best case scenario. So if we don't say to add on to the worst case and tell me if this is right or wrong, if by chance, which I don't see this happening, that no recreating happens on that property, is the $400,000 that was used to buy the land, would that have to be put back into the block grant because we didn't fulfill the obligation of the land? Now, and the best case scenario is like, no, we don't have to pay that money back. And two is that if there's no payments due on the building and on the land right now, is it possible that the organization can maybe, you know, go back down to bare bones? And I know people are working on bare bones, you know, but and us as a village kick in a little bit harder and try to do some better fundraising so there isn't this $12,740 a month payment that's going to last after the leadership moves on. So do we have to pay back for the land if by some very slim chance it's not used for recreating? And two is that, I mean, we don't have no payments now. That's a pretty good scenario to me.
I agree with you. My understanding is that yes, if the property eventually, I don't know what the time limits are, but if the property was not to be used for recreation purposes, then yes, some of those grants that were obtained with the specific provision that the funding be used for that purpose would have to be refunded. And the district would be liable for its portion. I think council pointed out the funds were the $400,000 for the initial use, the $500,000 of the RZH grant.
The RZH grant, the land and water funds, there was an original, I think it's $230,000 that was used for land acquisition. But you should understand that money is not sort of a promise to pay back. There is a deed restriction on the property that prohibits it from being used for anything else. And ultimately, the right to enforce that deed restriction for a portion of the property goes back to the county, and for another portion of the property goes back to the school district. So the property might lie unused for a period of time, but it's not going to get used for something else without some substantial work by a couple of public agencies at least.
So if I understand what you're saying, that the board can't approve something that might result in the consequence of recreational use not coming to fruition on the property.
Oh, I don't know that I'd go quite that far, but we can't.
To consider this within the next 45 minutes and sign that particular document, because this building is going to be built, if it's tomorrow, the next month, or next year, it's going to be built. I don't think the obligation is that great upon this board to prolong it any longer. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment? Pamela?
Pamela Dean, Oceano, President Hill and members of the board. It's kind of tweaking what I was prepared to speak to tonight, but I did want to ask your board not to sign the landlord's release and consent on your agenda tonight. And I feel this action would go against every assurance we've had from the board that it would not enter into what is defined by lenders as a ground lease. At least it gives the tenant the right to use and occupy the land under a property under a subordinated ground lease, the owner offers the land as collateral for the mortgage commitment on the property. The borrower defaults, the land goes back to the bank. I believe I'm saying it right. I put a little attachment here. I'd like to give it to the board. By doing this, we're giving away our park for 96 years, but more than likely, we're also giving away our land. Read the borrower's assignment of the lease and the consent of landlord. Remember, this is a subordinated ground lease. The bank controls the land. The bank controls the lease. If OCCI defaults and can't pay $13,000 a month, which is a huge amount of money, who will take over? OCSD really has no control. Read the lease default sections in the landlord's release and consent. How can OCCI pay for the $13,000 a month mortgage payment? In September 2004, OCCI submitted a projected annual operating budget forecast. Income matches expenses, but the total income is $525,969 a year. How can they? How can that be true? I don't know how they would get that much money by operating this by operating the community center, predicated on a rental rate of perhaps $1,500 per event. There would be no weekends left over for the kids to use the center. And how can Oceano residents afford to rent the center? I couldn't. And what? And if it's rented out all the time to pay for the mortgage, when can we use it? We don't want the district ratepayers to have to pick up the pieces because we don't have time now to ask these questions and get real answers. As it is, completion of this project is long overdue. If it takes a little longer to look at this proposal, that's what I'd say to do. And as Rick says, Rick Searcy said, it's been a long time coming. Time is irrelevant here. Let's do it right. Let's not mortgage our land. Let's not mortgage our future. Based upon the project OCCI budget, projected OCCI budget, I do not believe that the community center is a sustainable project. That's a lot of money to come up with every month. When or if it defaults, the land will be gone. The board votes to sign this release. The district, the community, the taxpayers, and the kids will pay the price. In fact, the kids are already paying the price. The school playgrounds are locked, and we gave up our only east side open space park for a locked, empty shell of a building. I'm watching our neighborhood boys play baseball and football in the middle of 19th Street. I respectfully request that my written comments and attachments be entered into the record of the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Please provide that to Mr. Kleining.
President Hill, just a one point of clarification. Ms. Dean is incorrect in the statement that this is a subordinated ground lease and that a foreclosure by the bank would result in the bank acquiring the land. That is not correct. It is a ground lease, but the land is not subordinated. The only thing that the lender would acquire is OCCI's right to occupy the facility.
Other public comment? Peggy?
President Hill, Oceano, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I would like to clarify, I would like you to clarify for me, if you would, District Council's last statement, and that is that the effects of your decision here tonight, the community, if OCCI defaults, and we have no reason to think that it won't based upon its past performance, if OCCI defaults, we as a community will lose control of what happens on that land. Yes, there are deed restrictions. Yes, there are things that may or may not take place. But let us be clear. The community itself will have been excluded, much the way it is now. Now, I have some specific questions, if you would, please. I'm wondering, President Hill, if you would poll the board individually for us tonight as to whether they've actually read the release and consent before you. And I am wondering if the Department of Housing and Urban Development has been specifically made aware by the district or by anyone else to the district's knowledge of the intent to use the building and its improvements for collateral? And if so, have they given written permission for this to take place? And considering OCCI's performance with regard to its lease obligations and its inability to succeed without continuing special favors like the one that's being asked of you here tonight from the county and from the district, there's just been an endless stream of special consideration and special treatment and last-minute decisions. How specifically does your board assure the taxpayers of Oceano of OCCI's ability to repay this loan when you start out in this much debt and you have no income on the horizon? How can it have gone this far without the answers to the questions about what's going to happen there? Who's going to be there? How will the money actually get made? How can you possibly consider making such a long-term commitment for our futures, we who live with this, if you don't have clear answers? How can it have gotten this far, and how can this much money have been put into this, and we still do not have definable answers? I feel that you have a fiduciary and a legal obligation here to have more information than just your opinions. I share your opinion. The building is there. Something needs to happen. But I feel there needs to be a deeper factual understanding, not just on the part of the board, but on the part of district staff as well, specifically district council. Because with regard to other elements of district staff, there's plenty of factual knowledge. I just don't think it's being shared with the rest of us. As far as the lease or the consent form in front of you, I'm wondering if perhaps you could ask specific members of the board to elucidate for us what their understanding is of the agreement that they're about to make. All due respect to counsel, who's here to kind of put the net under us, but he speaks legalese, and sometimes it's better for those of us in the community if we can hear y'all say it. Y'all are our legal, you know, representatives here. So maybe Ms. Mann could speak to us about the clause that talks about right of entry onto the premises and what would happen in a case of default with regard to that clause. Maybe Mr. Bookout could show us where it says specifically recreation in this document. I've read it. I don't see that it specifies recreation. I understand that the bank made a concession to add some language, but it doesn't specify recreation as far as I can tell. And what, in your view, are the ramifications of entering into this agreement, considering, for example, OCCI's apparent failure to adhere to Sections 3C, Sections 3.01C, and Section 3.01F of your lease agreement with OCCI? As District Council has pointed out, you all haven't upheld the terms of that lease on our behalf. You've allowed them to go ahead in breach of that lease. And we have patiently waited. We have patiently watched. We have patiently hoped for your board to uphold our rights and our interests as a community. So I think that you also need to answer for us, or have counsel answer for us,
because y'all aren't obvious, you aren't attorneys, would it be legally defensible from the standpoint of proceeding? Someone in the community is eventually going to say, you guys think you're going to go out of office and walk away and leave us holding the bag, and there aren't going to be legal repercussions? Somebody's eventually going to take some action. And I think that we need to really look at this issue of, if there is default, OCCI has 30 days to correct. Then after that, the bank would have 60 days. That's 90 days. That's 3 months. Boom, 3 months for a permanent decision and a permanent circumstance to be inflicted upon our community. 3 months. And it would be out of our control. So you have to ask yourself, can you do this tonight? My feeling is, at that point, having heard the scenario that counsel described, then it would come right back to right here. So you can do that tonight and just cut to the chase. Because that building is there, as has been pointed out, and is all too painfully obvious to those of us who used to watch the sunset there, and those of us who used to hear children playing there, and those of us who used to walk around there and sit there, and those of us who used to enjoy that property for the reason that we bought it and for the reason that the district committed to using it, which was outdoor recreation, which I believe there is a statute somewhere that says was supposed to be in perpetuity, and I have yet to see a document that reverses that requirement. So why don't we just give it a minute, give it some thought? Are you responsible to us, or are you responsible to OCCI? I think you're responsible to us. That building's not going to go anywhere. You've heard from my neighbor, Ms. Maldonado. We're here to help you. We will be here. We will help you. That building is not going to go anywhere. I think we need to be looking a whole lot more seriously at what you all are doing. You've said again and again you don't want to do this. You don't want to get encumbered. You're doing exactly that. You're encumbering the loan to this you're encumbering the lease to this property. And we're in a situation now where we've been dead in the water up there. There are a lot of issues that haven't been talked about tonight. There are a lot of issues that should be being talked about tonight. They can't get the lease without the loan, and they can't get the loan without the lease. Isn't that just a little bit like check kiting? And I think that the district owes it to the people to listen to more than just the folks who tell you why they think we need to have a community center. I worked for a community center. I believe we need to have one.
I'm going to have to call time, Peggy.
It's about time.
Yeah.
You have to listen to that.
Because I'm sorry, you're out of order, and I won't have cat calls from the back either.
I thank you, President Hill, for your generous extension of time, and I ask you to put the people first. Thank you.
Thank you, and that is the intent of this board, is to put the people's interests first. Have all of the board members read this document in detail and understand what the ramifications of it are?
I have.
I haven't read it in detail. I've relied on the lawyer to read it. I don't think anybody who reads this that isn't a lawyer would completely understand it anyway. And I'm sure all the lawyers would even understand it.
President Hill, you have another person that wants public comment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Dana Lilly with the County Planning Staff. I work in the section at the county that administers the Federal Community Development Block Grant Funds. And as I think you know, the county has close to $2 million invested in this project so far. So as you might guess, we're very interested in seeing it completed and to become operational. We do still support the project. I'm here to say we urge you to proceed. And I did want to mention one thing. The agreement the county has with OCCI says that it can't encumber the site without letting us know. But that's about it. There's no requirement to notify HUD. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment?
Free and clear, and they don't have a tremendous debt load that they have to pay off. It kind of looks to me like, unfortunately, when this project was conceived, we wanted a mansion on the hill, and we only had the budget to buy a two-bedroom flat. Well, we've ran out of money that we had that would have allowed us to afford the two-bedroom house, and we've got this mansion on the hill that we're now going to try to go into debt to keep it afloat. And there's no respect to the people with OCCI or any other organization. It's my opinion that that debt load is just not sustainable, and as a result, it's going to kill the project. Coming back to this particular document, then, there's some very troubling issues. One of them is the provision of consent of landlord. It says lender will have no liability under the lease. If there is a default, which is, in my opinion, almost a foregone conclusion, if we're having to pay this debt, there's eventually a high probability of default. The lender will have no liability under the lease. If we sign this document, we're allowing them out of that. It says borrower shall remain liable for all obligations of borrower's lessee under the lease. The borrower is OCCI. If they were unable to make the payment, they retain the liability, but they're gone. Disclaimer of interest. The landlord, that's OCSD, disclaims all interest, liens, and claims which we may now have or may hereafter secure in the collateral. And the collateral, recall, is the building, the community center building itself, which presumably would be completed under this loan.
Just to make clear, that's incorrect. The collateral is described in this document for purposes of this document as all inventory, chattel paper, accounts, equipment, and general intangibles. It does not include the building.
Does this document not refer to the agreement?
No.
Seems to me that this document refers several times to the agreement, but
The only reference is to a defined term related to this. But the consent that is given here to come into the property and take stuff out is as to these items of personal property that we've described. It doesn't relate to the deed of trust. It doesn't relate to the building. That's a separate set of issues.
I'm well aware it doesn't devolve to the land, but the for example, this clause, entry onto the premises, landlord and borrower grant to lender, that's the bank, the right to enter upon the premises for the purpose of removing the collateral from the premises or conducting sales of the collateral.
Correct. And so therefore, to figure out what that allows them to do, you have to go back and read the definition of the collateral. So let's read that. Collateral description. The word collateral means certain of borrower's personal property in which lender has acquired or will acquire a security interest, including without limitation the following specific property: all inventory, chattel paper, accounts, equipment, and general intangibles. The building, as attached to the real to the dirt, is part of the real property.
What chattel paper might be involved in that?
If I signed a promissory note to you for $100 because I borrowed $100 from you, that note is chattel paper.
In the proposed loan agreement, is not the collateral described as
the building and improvements?
The loan agreement says that there will be several types of security for this loan. One is a construction deed of trust on the building and improvements. An assignment of Oceano Community Center's interest as a tenant in the ground lease. A separate item of security is a security interest by UCC1 covering the building materials to be used in the construction of the subject property. So while the plywood's sitting out there on the site, that or the cement or whatever it might be, that sort of thing. A commercial security agreement and financing statement on all business assets held in first lien position. So there's three types of security. The collateral for per.
These are all questions you've already gone over with.
Yeah. There's some questions, but I'm concerned with the new information and the lack of resolution to issues that have come up this afternoon, and the potential of the $64,000 question is, how are you going to support paying off this debt on this property? Al, you asked the greatest question in the world. What can we do to cooperatively look at how this thing might go forward without a crushing debt load? Is there a way that the OCSD and the school district can partner on this thing? I know that the school district has adult education and recreation programs. Certainly with the proximity to the grade school, it could be used for recreation for the school population during the daytime and perhaps immediately before and after school. Is there some way that our organizations could partner in order to beat the debt load on here? The debt load looks to me like eventually the thing's going to get repoed. It's going to go out of our control, and the people of the community are going to be the losers. I'm wondering, is there a way that the school district and OCSD or other organizations might come up with a way to save this thing before we end up with a debt load that nobody can support?
Nobody's going to save it if we don't move this thing along. But to answer some of your questions, we have a capital campaign committee. And this is made up. The names, I think, are on that flyer that Barbara made. And the charge of that group will be to raise the majority of the funds to pay back this loan. We have a whole planned out program, naming opportunities. But we have been so caught up in all of this stuff that we haven't been able to spend the time on that. Getting the loan came out of our capital campaign committee meetings. And that's how we sort of took a right-hand turn. And everybody was positive about it. And I believe we can raise the money. The other thing is, as we apply for additional grants, like the RZH grant, that money doesn't pay back the loan. It pays for finishing the building, which reduces our need to borrow from that money. So as I said before, we aren't going to have in our bank account this $1.8 million. We will borrow what we need from the bank when we need it. We are going to be doing everything in our power to reduce the need to borrow all of that money, therefore reducing our mortgage payments. The other side of this is we have been collaborating with the school district, the Boys and Girls Club, with countless organizations in this community to do programming and stuff. And yes, we will be looking at whoever out there has a need to use this facility and can pay. If you go to use the cafeteria at the elementary school, you have to pay for that. The elementary school doesn't give those facilities out for free anymore. because everybody is has to raise various funds to cover all of their costs. We have written plans. You have those in your hands about how we're going to operate this facility, how we're going to raise those funds. There are lots of opportunities out there that aren't even in the plan. It's going to take a lot of hard work. There's no question about it. But, you know, to constantly berate us that this is going to fail, you know, it's why am I here? Why have I spent 15, almost 20 years trying to help people that came to me as a supervisor and said, we need a community center? And the way you get those things done is you pool all kinds of resources, and sometimes you take two steps forward, a step back. Sometimes you take three steps back. And I feel we keep going behind. And we have to get over this. Absolutely. I mean, you've heard some very, very good testimony tonight of people saying, let's get on with it. There's only so much energy you can wring out of volunteers. And this group of volunteers has put...
Okay, any disrespect or be seen as a naysayer, but nobody else, from the Boys and Girls Club to the Senior Center, any other organization you want to talk about, none of those organizations have successfully pulled off support of a debt like we're proposing to enter into if we approve this agreement. And there's no reason in my mind to believe that we can. I would hope that we can come up with some kind of a positive solution. And again, I look to Al and possibly the school district. That's just my best idea for what might happen, not to say that it's the only possible one. But
I am.
Mr. President, you closed public comment. You can reopen it. It is appropriate at this time for the board to discuss it amongst itself, get a motion one way or the other, up or down, and vote on it. You are approaching the 10 o'clock hour, so you need to take up that issue as well.
We need to either vote it up or vote it down. I agree with council on that.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the landlord's release and consent as submitted.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the landlord's release and consent as submitted.
Discussion? Okay. I think probably everybody sitting here knows that I'm pretty much of a bean counter, and I tend to ask the hard questions, and no personal affront is meant at anybody. Although I have very serious doubts and concerns regarding OCCI's ability to repay this loan, I feel that the center needs to be completed as soon as possible. The community needs a center for recreation activities now, not next month, not 10 years from now. We need to get on with it. Additionally, and I really want to say this, and it's really the way I've been feeling. I think all of us sitting up here on the board have thought about this a lot, not slept at night, had as many headaches as the OCCI board. You know, it is a community thing. I understand that OCSD and the public has no right to micromanage the community center in their attempt to raise funds, grants, etc., to complete this project. However, I intensely dislike the fact that deadlines came and went, which OCCI failed to meet. If it meant a report getting here or whatever, or late requests for things that just had to be done immediately, that's not right, and I didn't like it. Additionally, I was personally insulted by the work product which was given to us on July 13th, and I told Ms. Carey that, how I felt about it. It was very poor. When the management agreement was signed and accepted by OCCI, I personally asked the president of the board and if she and her executive director had read and understood the scope of what OCSD was requesting. I was assured yes, and I think I asked that question perhaps three times that night. So therefore, I hope that in the future, all reporting deadlines will be met as they relate to OCSD. If you're supposed to give us something on a Tuesday, then I expect it to be here on a Tuesday, not Wednesday. You know, I have to do things in a timely manner, and I expect the same professionalism back. Having said all this, and having been assured by our legal counsel that OCSD cannot be held liable for the repayment of this loan, and that the land is not subordinated, is that encumbered? Is not encumbered. I will vote yes on the land release and consent. But I would ask that legal counsel add a caveat to that, if you can, saying that the loan will be funded within 45 working days, or that the landlord's release is null and void. I think saying 45 days, perhaps you might want to change that amount of time, but the time they file it and their lawyers look at it, because I understand their lawyers haven't looked at the lease yet. I don't know whether you can do that, but I would like
just to make sure you understand, we have a little bit of a chicken and egg issue here, because the condition on the execution of the lease is that the loan be in place,
mm-hmm.
and a condition of the loan is that the lease be in place. So what we would do, what we would propose to do, is to get the lease executed, and there's a memorandum of lease that goes with it, but that's not a big issue. Get those executed. I presume that the bank is going to use an escrow.
It's time to get done. I'm going to vote to approve this.
Dave Conacher. I noting the lateness of the hour, I would call a recess in this particular discussion, and we should take up the question of continuing beyond 10 p.m. if necessary.
We got a motion on the floor. And a second, I say we call the question.
Is it amended or what? Was that a friendly amendment to Bill's motion, which was an incomplete sentence?
Call the question.
Let's restate the question.
Restate the question, please.
The question is to approve the landlord's release and consent as submitted. And I think counsel sort of gave you the operational scenario of how it'll happen, but that's not part of the motion.
That's not currently part of the motion, but that is the way we'll do it.
And Barbara's...
Mine was comments. Comments on it. And since Alex has assured us all that we're in good shape, I'll hold him to that.
Are you intending to suggest a friendly amendment to the question on the floor?
Caveat. Can we add the caveat?
It wasn't the second.
You're right. I'm not the second. So, no, I just made comments of how I felt. So you have to call the question, I guess. I don't know. Call the question.
All right.
The audience doesn't have the right to call the question.
No, I'm just...
Again, my concern on this is I believe that the loan is not the salvation of the SEEP project. It's the kiss of death to it. And... I would hope that we can find some way not to encumber this property with the with this onerous debt that I don't see any way for us to pay off, and to come up with some other way to fund the completion of the project. So I can't support this particular item. But with that, everyone having commented, I need a roll call, please.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
No. Motion carries.
Mr. President? prison? Who's going to sign this? Is that something that the staff does?
No, the president of the board, president of the board will sign it as a ministerial act.
Okay.
I mean, he's not signing that he concurs. He's just signing it as the presiding officer of this board.
Again, we need to consider the question of the late hour if we're going to proceed with the other items on the agenda.
Can you call Vern back?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's please call Director Dahl back.
Let's just go home and do this other stuff.
We'll make it officially.
Yeah, but I mean,
make the decision.
Because it won't be that much to carry over the financial statements. Gina's not here.
We don't have a financial report.
Yeah.
I noticed that wasn't in there.
We couldn't get the information for the closing out of the county. So
and the report.
Oh, man, I should have liked it. I went home and the rest of it.
Okay, at this point, order, please. At this point, we need to consider whether we're going to proceed past 10 o'clock, so I would look for a motion from the board to proceed one way or the other.
I quickly went over the rest of the agenda, and I don't think there's anything on there that can't wait till the next meeting.
Warrants, and that's it.
Warrants.
Warrants, and that's it.
Do we need to pay the bills? I move that we pay the bills.
Speaking of default.
I'll second that.
I believe it's been moved by Vice President Mann, seconded by Director Bookout to pay the warrants.